Maybe you'll have my funeral here. That'd be something to look forward to, amen, because I'll be in heaven. By the grace of God, Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm just going to read the first three verses. Probably most of you would have part or some or all of it memorized. What a great passage. Our Bible says this, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." I know that the Bible is filled with promises, and I'm glad. Several people have attempted to count them. Some have come up with the number around 6,000. One fella read the Bible through 26 times, and in so doing, he highlighted every time he ran across the promise. At the end of the 26th time of reading the Bible through, he went back and counted everything that he had highlighted and came up with 7,486. That's a bunch. You know what's good about that? Not one of them has ever failed. Not one of them has ever failed. Okay? If God said it, he plans on keeping his word. We have so much going for us. I know I do. And sometimes we don't, pardon me, I guess we don't realize it. I had a thought the other day that while I was praying, that I was there with the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit's help, having just left my office from reading the Bible. And here's the thought that entered my mind. Why do I struggle so much? I got the God of heaven on my side. He's my Father. I've got the Lord Jesus who died on the cross and shed his blood to save me. I got the Holy Spirit of God that lives in my body. I've got the Word of God that encourages me. I have a man of God that preaches to me. Why do I struggle sometimes? The truth of the matter is, it's true about all of us. And we can go into all the reasons why we do. But the truth of the matter is that we do. We love the Lord. I know you do, or you wouldn't be here. You love the Lord Jesus. You know he loves you. We just sang about Jesus loves the little children, and he loves us big children too. Amen. He loves us, and we know he does. We don't have any problem with that. We believe the Bible is true. This is a Bible-preaching church. We don't have any trouble believing that the Bible is the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus died for us, that he's there for us, and that we have a group of believers here in this church that love each other and pray for each other with all that going on for us. Sometimes it's still easy, I guess, is the word for us to struggle. And I'm not sure why I struggle so severely sometimes. I know that I'm not by myself. We live in this body of sin, and this body gives us a fit. The Bible gives us, or names for us, three distinct enemies, the Satan, the world, and our flesh. And I'm sure Satan fights me frequently. I'm sure he does. And I know the world is not my friend. But if I have to be honest tonight, the guy that bothers me the most is the one I look at in the mirror every morning when I get up. That's me. I give myself the worst trouble trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it seem to you that sometimes the whole world's against you? I'm sure it does. We all go through periods of time like that. And sometimes for us, we try to put on a facade, a mask, a fake, and we are pretty good at it. We can come to church with smiles, and we can sing and clap and have fun and give testimonies, while really on the inside we're struggling. That's okay. That's okay. This is a hospital here for people to come. Number one, unsaved can come and be born again. Number two, the saved can come and be encouraged. And that's what I get a lot out of church, is just being encouraged. I cannot tell you how many times over the past 15 years that my heart has been weary and I have left this building or some meeting here encouraged. Sometimes it was because of what Brother Sellers preached. Sometimes it was because of what PJ or Leah or Stacy or Miss Sellers or whomever sang. Sometimes it was because you shook my hand and said, "Brother Earl, I'm praying for you." And sometimes it's just because I was around you and enjoyed God's people and God's fellowship. For whatever reason, it seems as though our path sometimes goes through tough areas, tough waters, stormy tempests come upon us, and we have to be careful during those times. Tonight, I just want to preach to you for just a few minutes on this subject. It's our focus, not our footsteps. It's our focus and not our footsteps. Maybe you're there tonight. You're not sure what's going on. Things aren't going the way you'd like for them to. You're struggling spiritually. It looks okay on the outside, but maybe deep down inside, it's not going as well as you'd like. And I just want to encourage your heart tonight. Three things that I see in our verses here that if we're not careful, we get our attention gets on those areas of our life that they shouldn't be. So if you're taking notes, would you write this first word down? And that is the crowd. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We could just go back into chapter 11. Matter of fact, look at chapter 11 there in Hebrews. Look at these verses here, starting with verse 32. Now this, I believe, is the cloud and the crowd that we're talking about in chapter number 12. Look at some of what the Bible, what God had to say about these great Christians. Look at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Wow, how would you like to have that for a resume on your Christian lifestyle? Amen? Wouldn't that look good? Okay, been saved 30 years. Here are some of my accomplishments. I quenched the violence of fire. I escaped the edge of the sword. Okay, out of weakness I was made strong. I waxed valiant in fight. I turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the enemies. Wouldn't that look good on your Christian resume? And if we're not careful, we get our eyes focused on these heroes in chapter number 11, these faithful Christians, both male and female. We look at our struggles, we look at our failures, and we're intimidated by them. Okay? PJ was beating himself up a little bit this morning about his song. I'm telling you, it wasn't that bad, and I enjoyed it, and I really mean that. That is nothing compared to what I've done before, trying to sing a song. Well, suppose one day, somebody showed up and said, Earl, we have heard you sing, and we think you're just fantastic, and we'd like for you to come and sing at a meeting we have. A lot of folks are going to be there. It's going to be in downtown Savannah at the convention center. It's going to be packed out, and we want you to come and sing a song for us. Man, I'd be intimidated. I really would. And then when I showed up to sing, nervous all over myself, they said, well, right before you come out to sing, we got one other guy that we'd like to have him come out and sing first. And then when he gets through, you'll come out and sing after him. His last name is Pavarotti. Have you ever heard of him? Okay, that's one of them guys that, one of them tenor guys, you know, that can sing the house down. I'd be a little intimidated, wouldn't you? And if we're not careful, we get to looking at these folks in the Bible. Moses, Abraham, Sarah, Jephthah, Gideon. We get to looking at them and we say, there's no way I can ever measure up to those Christians. Listen, if I had been living back in those days, my name wouldn't be in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm telling you right now, we get intimidated by looking at the lives that these folks live. The Bible says there that we are compassed about. That's almost like if we're not careful, we get the picture of us running down the road and these are great Christians sitting in the stands beside of us, you know, shouting at us almost to kind of like to make us nervous, like, come on, we did it, you can. But that's not what the word means. If any of us have seen old westerns, we've seen the wagon trains going across the desert and the Indians come and attack or whatever the case may be, and they take those wagons and they put them in a circle. That's what this word means. Not to intimidate us, but to instigate some movement in our life to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. They are they're there to encourage us. This crowd, this cloud that the Bible talks about of witnesses is there to cheer us on. In a small church, and we have a small church. But in our church, here's what I found out just by listening to prayer requests. We're a needy group. We're a needy group. It doesn't matter if there's 5,000 of us here or 50. We're a needy group. And if you look to your left tonight and to your right and in front of you and behind you, you're probably taking in to vision somebody that's hurting tonight. Even in our small group. It's not our job to condemn them. It's our job to cheer them on. Come on, you can do it. That's what this cloud is doing. That's what this crowd is after. Sometimes we may feel intimidated about our cloud of witnesses. And even to bring it down a little bit further, you're probably sitting close to somebody tonight that maybe intimidates you a little bit. I mean spiritually. You look at their life and you think, man, why can't I be like that? You look at them and say, why? They seem to be happy all the time. Nothing ever bothers them. People tell me that all the time. I say, Brother Earl, you don't ever have any bad days. I got news for you. I have plenty of them. You just don't know about it. And I prefer to keep it that way. Okay? We all have them. Our job is to cheer each other on. Come on. Come on. We can do this. You can do this. God's on your side. We ran the race, and we weren't perfect. Here, I look out into this wagon train that's surrounding me, and I look over there, and there's King David. And David's going, come on, you can do it. And I'm thinking, David, my soul, I know what you did. I hadn't done anything bad as you have. There's no reason for me to be intimidated by David. David is a sinner saved by grace, just like we are. He may have done some terrible things, and he did, but we all have. Come on, you can do it. But here's the thought. If we keep our eyes on the crowd all the time, we're not going to be very good for the Lord Jesus. We're just not going to survive because we're going to be intimidated and we're going to fail. And I'm telling you what's the truth. When I go to preachers' fellowships, I don't like to go very often. I hope I don't ever get called on. Can I tell you that? You know why? I'm intimidated. Now, there's been a few that I showed up at. And I believe we'll have Brother Kicklighter come and preach. And I'm in my knees start knocking together then. I'm intimidated by these men of God that are my friends, that love me, that pray for me. But I'm intimidated by them. Can I tell you this and be real, just transparent with you? Because of my life, I'm intimidated by men of God that haven't been through what I've been through. Can I tell you that? Would you understand that? I bet you would. But you know what? I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I can be as successful as God can allow me to be. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life or yours, we can do it. But we have to remember this. We can't keep our focus on the crowd around us. That's the wrong place to look. If I look around me, I'm going to find somebody better than me. I'm going to find somebody doing more than me, and I'm going to feel guilty. So I must not look at the crowd. Number two, okay? How about the course? The Bible says this in that same verse. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay? We can't keep our focus on the crowd, and we can't keep our focus on our course. All right? The Bible says this, that Mike Fuller's got a course that he has to run. Okay. He's had a pretty rough one here lately, hasn't he? Mom and Dad graduated to heaven. His wife, not too many years ago, graduated to heaven. Poor old Mike's had a rough, and he wouldn't want me to say that, but he's had a rough course. You know what? I've not had to run Mike's course. He's had a tough one. Why does Mike have a tougher course than Earl? I can't answer that. But here's what I do know, that there's a God in heaven that laid out your life and laid out my life. There's a course for me to run, and there's a course for you to run. And we must run it with patience, all right? We'll have a different race. We have a different course. No two families are the same. No two Christians are the same. God has laid out a course for you to run and a course for me to run. God chooses the course based on what He knows best and how He wants it to work. I don't know why. We have to be careful not to judge those folks that seem to be struggling as if they're doing something wrong and we're not. Maybe their course is just a little different than yours. You know what I do? I thank God for people that have run a course more difficult than mine and stayed right with God. That's an encouragement to me. Right? Stayed right with God, even though their situation wasn't everything it needed to be. Maybe years ago, your course took you in a direction that was the hardest thing you've ever had to endure. God was there. Here's our trouble, though. We get so focused on the course that we're running that we lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is tough. Life is filled with tragedy. Life is filled with upsets, and life is filled with valleys. And we have to be careful to know this. Whatever comes my way, and believe me, I don't want anything bad to come my way, but whatever comes my way, whatever's going on in your life right now, is there by the permissive hand of an almighty God and Father that loves you more than you realize. Nothing's going on in my life that did not pass through first the hand of my Father in heaven. That means He knows where I am. He knows what's going on. He knows what tomorrow might bring. He knows how I'm going to react to it. And if we'll go into that course knowing this, that whatever it is I'm doing, whatever it is that's coming, God knows about it. And not only does He know about it, He allowed it to happen. Now, sometimes just normal things happen, don't it? We call it life, and it does. But I don't care what we call it. Everything that comes into my life comes through God. He's allowed it. So my job, my responsibility then, is to trust God, lean on Him, let Him guide me, because my course just might be rough. As painful as it is, as it was and still is, you still won't God's blessing. A young boy was taken to the doctor, and this was back in the 40s, if I remember correctly, and way back then they didn't have the medical knowledge that we have today, and the doctor said he's got polio and he has to wear leg braces to bed every night. So they took the little boy home and got the leg braces and took them home, obviously, and that night the dad put the leg braces on the little boy, and they hurt so severely that he cried almost all night. Take them off, Daddy, they hurt, I can't stand it. And can you imagine trying to listen to that all night to your child in pain? And really, because you did that to them? But you know, the truth of the matter is, after he wore those for about 2 years, his legs straightened out and he didn't have any trouble anymore. Sometimes God has to put leg braces on us and they hurt. We don't like them. They're uncomfortable. And we beg God to take them off. And He won't. Because here's what He knows. More than I do, it's good for you. And that's hard, isn't it? That's hard. To have to hurt your child in order to get them better. But that's what God has to do for me sometimes. Maybe your course has you there now. And I know you're hurting. But can I tell you this? God knows exactly what's going on in your life. And you will come out the other side better. You will come out the other side better. Last thing, and I'm done. That is the Christ, verse number 2. It's not the crowd. I'm guilty sometimes of watching them and being intimidated by them. It's not the course that God has for me, though sometimes I keep my eyes there. But I'm just going to tell you something you already know. It is the Christ. That's where we're to have our focus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. Here's where we get sidelined and sidetracked sometime. It's hard in today's world. Perhaps it always has been. But in today's world, with so many things going on in our life, it's hard for us to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have jobs to do. You ladies have children to raise and jobs to do. You got houses to run. You guys have jobs to go to that might take you away 12 or 14 hours a day. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, we've all got things going on in our life. And if we're not careful, we pop out of the bed in the morning. We rush to get ready. We rush to work. We spend all day there. We rush home and we're so tired. All we can do is fall down in the reclining chair and fall asleep, or get home and have more work to do. And 9 o'clock rolls around at night and we're so give out that we just have to almost fall into bed and go to sleep, and it ain't getting any better tomorrow, because tomorrow when I get up, I'm just going to have to repeat the same thing over and over and over and over again, and we just wait for the weekend to come where we can have a little breather, and the weekend comes and the breather doesn't come, and we've spent all week without Jesus. Boy, that's easy to do. You know how come I know it's easy? Been there. Been there. The crowd has got my attention so much. The course that I'm running has gotten my attention so much that I have neglected the one person in my life that's going to help me more than anything else, and that is Jesus. Jesus. We need to keep our eyes not on the finish line, but on the finisher. Verse 2 goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're aware of the crowd, and we should be. We're aware of the course, and we need to be. But our fixation, our concentration must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that, Brother Earl? You make him a priority. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, we're to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I get up in the morning on purpose, and I spend time with the Lord Jesus before I do anything else. If I can't do that, and I'm not a morning person, then before I go to bed at night, I spend some time with the Lord Jesus on purpose. On purpose. That's what's going to get me through. Saturate yourself with this book. I mean, pour it on you like you've never done before, okay? And then when something comes up in your life, you'll know how to handle it. You'll know what your focus needs to be. Why? Because I've saturated myself with the Word of God. I have spent time in His presence. I know His mind. I know His heart. And I know what He expects out of me. Is the crowd going away? They ain't going away. What about my course, Brother Earl? The only time your course is going to end is when you take your final breath or Jesus comes. So the crowd's going to remain, the course is going to remain, but the good news is Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and we ought to fix our eyes on Him. I think Mike put on the sign something to this effect. A glimpse at Jesus will save you. A gaze at Him will sanctify you, make you holy. Okay, it only takes a little bit of a glimpse at Him and His glory to save us. But if we're going to be like Him, we have to focus on Him, not on the footsteps that I take. Would you agree with me that there are times in your Christian life that I focus too much on my problems? I do. Focus too many times on my lack? I do. When really, my focus ought to be on the Lord Jesus. What are you focused on tonight? Corrie Ten Boom. If you've never read anything by that precious lady, you have missed out. She is and was a great, great Christian. One of the first things I remember hearing from her was this. She was in a concentration camp, by the way, in Germany during World War II. She said, any compliments I get through the day, I collect them, whatever they may be. She traveled around the country, and people for forever say things to her like, Miss Ten Boom, you're awesome. You're a great Christian. She said, all the compliments I get through a day, I collect them and save them up. And that night, before I go to bed, I kneel down beside my bed and I give them to Jesus. That's one of the first things I ever remember hearing about her. And I thought, would to God I could be like that. And then she made this statement. She said, if you look to the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. But if you'll look to Jesus, you'll be at rest. I thought that's more than appropriate. Where's our fixation at tonight? Where's your focus? Are you looking at your course? Are you looking at the crowd around you? Or are we looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? One day, I'll get to see Him face to face. Could be tonight, could be next week, but one day, I'll get to see Him. And when I do, I just happen to believe this, that all those times and all those things that kept me from Him are just not going to be very important that night, amen, or that day, when we see Him face to face. Let's pray.